I was saying, don't you all wish you were Kmart shoppers? Yes, so we have to get that on the tape. What Annie and I and a number of us have been looking at is all this processing and all this homework, and I am surrounded by the most dedicated, processing, homework-oriented geniuses, brilliant individuals, really working on stuff, and they're still working on stuff. And what I'm finding out is the more they've done, and so I'm watching them because I'm a pretty lazy person. I'm going, oh my God. There's some of, now I have to also qualify that some of the parts they love very much. They love information, they love working, and that brings them great joy. This is the part that doesn't bring them great joy. God, I'm still not good enough. I'm still broken. I need to be fixed. I need more information. Well, that's what the bookstore's for. It's just one more place to put your dysfunction. So, well, eventually I'll get fixed. But all it is a great business, just like Madison Avenue knows. Give them more information so they'll want more. You're never, ever good enough until you decide you are. You can always be better. Why? Once you decide you're absolutely perfect just the way you are, you are. Once you have peace, harmony, contentment, and well-being, a nickel is more than enough. You won't care whether you have arms or legs. You won't even care if you lived in Bakersfield or Brownsville. Wouldn't matter. I picked on Brownsville because we have Texans here. That's for those. They know what I mean by Brownsville. Make Bakersfield look like heaven. So when we start on this journey of expansion, we need to realize that, yes, there's an ascension process. Yes, you're fully into it. Yes, you're expanding. And the minute you decide you're good enough just the way you are, game over. That's the bottom line. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with appearance. It has nothing to do with relationship and interpersonal dynamics, except with yourself. Now, you're all part of me and I'm part of you, so we get to act it outside of ourselves, but eventually we need to bring it home and recognize this is the good old day. Everything is perfect, regardless of what it is. What do they say? Nothing is perfect and everything else is too. Or everything you think, do, and say is perfect, regardless of the outcomes or consequences. If you're expecting to be rescued, or if you're a rescuer, you're really getting caught up in putting your energy out there, giving it away in order to stay in one spot and be identified as loveworthy or valuable or safe. And I want you to get that it's a perpetration to rescue people. So I won't rescue you guys. I'll be more than glad to give you information. If you don't use it, fine. If you do use it, great. It might not even work for you. All I know is it works for me, so I'm just going to chat about some things so you can pick and choose parts that might interest you. Be eclectic with anything. Rob says, I don't know everything I'm talking about. I have my ups and downs also. But if you like some of the parts that you see, you might want to pull some things in. I will tell you, this is just Rob's opinion, but it gets stronger every day, that you need to quit going and getting fixed. Totally. You need to quit learning more. You need to quit attentioning doctors and chiropractors and body and therapists and me. Don't anybody come and see me. The minute you decide you don't need to see any of us, you're totally fine. I really see that the whole process of giving our power away is to finally say, well, I'm so sick and tired of all these goddamn people who said they were going to promise they were going to help me. Or, I need to make more money. This isn't enough. It's really time to come present, get back in the moment. Now, if your life's working perfect, then you don't need to listen to anything I say. So you can just exit all out. But if it isn't working perfect and you want it to be perfect, make it perfect by deciding it is. That's all it has to be. There's a saying, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. Or, believing is seeing. Everybody likes to say seeing is believing, but I really understand it as what you believe is. And most people here, and we talked about this before, but I'm going to reiterate it again, have what I call retinal blindness. The psychic blindness that they have is this third dimensional lockup everybody has, where they have to work linearly and give their power away and not have joyfulness and freedom and spontaneity, is a blindness. All this information's coming in, and they have this wonderful brain that works, or this perceptual system that works, but it's cut off by believing that seeing is believing instead of believing is seeing. Whenever you have eyes that work perfect and a brain that works perfect and your retina's detached, you're still blind. Even though the main components work great and all you need is some super glue. The super glue here for you guys is to start recognizing that believing is seeing, and to really catch yourselves on this victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle. And I'll tell you what, the minute you start addressing it, everybody's going to think you're a shit. I'd rather be a happy, live, independent, free shit than a miserable, unhappy, and wonderful person. The world's full of wonderful people. God help them. For those of you who are wonderful people and exhausted, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm not a wonderful person. That's how much dedication I have to staying healthy. I'm not going to be wonderful for any of you. It's real important that if you want to get rescued, you do it yourself. You can end that blindness by simply choosing yourself. And you don't even have to understand what that means. Just start giving yourself credit for your intuition. Give yourself credit for your knowingness of yourself. You don't have to instantly go out and quit work and go, well, Rob said, and works for me. It works to just be in the moment and trust every day. And I don't recommend it for everybody right off the bat. In fact, it's pretty difficult to live with someone like me. You can nod now. It's very hard to be with somebody who's really in the moment, doesn't understand tomorrow, and can care less about yesterday. But once you get into that flow, you get to start seeing that you are perfect just the way you are. Even when I screw up. In fact, when I screw up, I learn a lot more about where I'm going. And I don't think I'm so broken anymore. Society tried to make me think I was broken. School told me that there's a bunch of broken people. Let's go fix them. And the more we'd fix them, the more they'd come back. And I go, this is a great business. You can have broken people forever and just make them, as long as you keep them thinking they're better, then they'll bring in new issues. Higher level. It's real important for us to get over that. And I'm not saying to go on strikes. I have a lot of therapists in this room. I'm instantly putting out of business if you believe in me on all levels. But the thing is, I believe all of us would love to be out of business. It would bring us great joy to not have to ever see anybody again because everybody was healthy and happy. Okay. So let me see here. I have some. So the next part, thanks for letting me do commercials. I feel like I'm NBC or something today. We talked about this some before, but I want to reiterate it again. It's all about gratitude and just saying yes. Just say yes. When we say yes, the energy expands out from us. This big spiral just shoots out. And if you go, no, it goes right back here. So when Nancy Reagan's program to just say no came out, it doesn't work. Saw a wonderful news special the other day that said how everything's so much worse. The war on drugs and just say no haven't worked because they're negative. They have a negative entropy that should be just say yes to peace and harmony, contentment and well-being. The peace movement on health and joyfulness and global harmony. Watch out for the negatives out there, because what's going to happen if you begin to start, well, you're going to get forced either way. If you begin starting it now versus getting forced into it to tell your truth, that blunt truth that kids are so known for, like, I don't see a blue streak coming out of grandma's mouth when she talks. Mom. Oops. We tell it like it is. Little kids, they don't have any concept of what's coming. When we start just telling our truth again and let the shame issues get out of the way, or let them come up and go, oh my God, there's a shame issue, I need to address this because I am perfect just the way I am. You can start breaking some of these cycles, and it allows for the affirmative. It allows for you to say yes to you. And when you say yes to you, the spiral starts happening out regardless of what the other people around you think. And the cool thing that happens once you start saying yes to you and telling your truth, whatever frequency you're at, the world resonates at that. So it's real scary. When you think, I'm going to tell my truth, all my friends are going to go away, I'm going to get divorced, my kids will never talk to me again, and I'll be all alone. A lot of us were told if we absolutely told our truth, we wouldn't be loved. We'll get kicked out of the house, we don't love you, you got to do your homework, got to get A's. And if you don't do it this way, you're going to be homeless and alone and nobody will love you anymore, and there's lots of homeless to validate that. It's bullshit. When you tell your truth, yes, you might drop all those people off because they can't handle somebody who tells the truth. But there are a lot of people out there who are really willing to participate with you, and wouldn't you much rather be with people who can handle the truth and tell the truth instead of compromising who you are to accommodate these people? And they'll tell you, well, you can't work in this place anymore, you can't make this money, or we've been married 30 years and now you're, I got to tell your truth. And one of the things that happens when you tell your truth, it allows the other people participating with you to have the real truth so they can react to you honestly. When you don't be your real selves, you're ending up reacting to somebody who isn't reacting to you because they haven't gotten to see the real you. And it really sets up a process where nobody's right. Everybody loses. It behooves you to tell the truth, not only for you, but for them, so they can have a real pardon, a real mirror, get down to business with. Gratitude's a real important thing with the yes system. Just to say yes to you and to have gratitude for everything, including the discomforts. It's your judgment that discomfort's uncomfortable. And you chose discomfort. You don't have to have it. You can have the prima donna plan. You don't have to have the torture plan. You just need to choose it and get over the guilt of having it. How many people were told, you know, who do you think you are, Mr. or Miss? Imagine a lot of people bought into this really early. You can't have what you want. The life in this world's full of struggle. You're going to have to work hard like your father has or your mother has. Or it ain't easy out there. You remember the Depression, don't you? I had to walk 25 miles into school in the snow. I mean, you name it, America is full of these things. Totally telling you, you can't have it effortless and easy. It's a lie. If you believe that stuff, it'll be proven absolutely true outside of you. And as soon as you decide to break that cycle, you can have it. But you have to start seeing you believe in lies, and it gets real scary because the whole universe says if you start operating in truth, we're not going to like you and love you. You're going to be broke, just like we told you. The analogy I used with you guys before, and so I apologize for those of you who are bearing with me as I repeat some things, is like buying a new car or a new used car. Most everybody looks around and tries to get one their neighbors doesn't have, or at least on the block. And so you look around, and once you make your mind up on a car, you start seeing it around. As soon as you sign that contract and buy that car, on the way home, I guarantee you, you'll see 10 of them. Guarantee it. The minute you put your attention on a frequency, even if it's the car frequency, you'll start seeing things you didn't see before. And in fact, your neighbor probably has the same car. Or at least two or three houses down. It really makes you sick, doesn't it, when it drives by your house? Ugh! God, I worked hard to not have that happen. When you subscribe to a reality or a belief system, your reality will totally validate it. The minute you move to another one, your reality will totally validate it, whether it's used cars or used people. So it's up to you to start acting as if. AA says, act as if. Start acting as if you're at this certain frequency, and what it'll do when you start telling the truth, you're going to filter out a lot of people. They do get the choice to come with you, but if they don't, tough beans. And you won't be alone. In fact, when you start buying the new car of telling your truth, you'll get to see all those other cars that are painted the same that you didn't think were there. You think there's none of them. This whole community has 50 million subcultures. Everybody thinks there's like one or two. As soon as you get to play with different ones, you'll see, just go do something different, like shop at Kmart for a few hours, and then go hang out in Seaside for a few hours, and then go down to the beach at Pacific Grove, and then go out to Marina, and then hang out at Pebble Beach, and then go in downtown Carmel, and come over, hang out with me. A lot of different realities. And you get to see it your way. And you get to participate or not. You can have anyone you want. Most of them here I wouldn't want, at least in the way the third dimension does it. But a lot of people are killing themselves to try to have it because it makes them feel good enough, makes them feel safe, or makes them feel valid. All it does is make you sick. So when you start telling your truth and you start being you, you can have comfort and ease and joyfulness, and you don't have to sacrifice who you are to have it. But you need to understand what your needs and wants are. And I've had to work my little buns off on this one, so I will chat with you. As usual, I teach what I'm learning, so I'm not perfect at these. When you have abuse issues, which the majority of people do in one fashion or another, growing up in American society is abusive. Period. It's totally a sound asleep group of people who think that doing things in the cattle format is the way to go, and they have no idea Madison Avenue has them right where it counts and is laughing all the way to the bank. Excuse me, I got some info. That was good. I got a good joke. A little extra info for later. So what we're really coming down to, as you guys hear me say every single time I talk, is about getting conscious, waking up. That's the Cinderella story and all the others. Get the poisoned apple out of your mouth, say Rumpelstiltskin, or do whatever it is you need to do, but wake up. Wake up and get out and about. And it's all about being conscious. And once you're conscious and you can start seeing how you've been manipulated, you can start saying what you need and want. And when you have esteem issues, how dare you, young man, I'll pick on me, who do you think you are? You can't have that. Nobody gets to have that. That's not possible. You're a daydreamer. You're a Peter Pan. You're a wishful thinker. You can't have that. Guns aren't safe. Or wait till you have your own house, then you can do that. So we all hear different versions of wait till you're bigger. And when we finally bigger, since we never practiced being who we were when we were littler, we're just a bunch of out-of-power people bigger. Bottom line, we need to understand what our needs are. And the difference between needs and wants in my dictionary, needs are what you absolutely need to survive, to have peace and harmony, contentment and well-being. And some people's needs are other people's wants. Wants are icing on the cake. Often, our needs are what parents think are wants. So we say, I need this. No, that's a want. You'll be happy without it. No, wait a minute, it's a need. You're not old enough yet to know what needs are. You don't need this. I think if I'd have got that BB gun, I'd have been a much happier person. I really do know that these days. They thought it was a want, it was a need. It maybe was even a need to use it. I didn't think about it at the time, but now maybe they knew. It's most likely true. So when you have abuse creates shame that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for you to say what your needs are. Because the minute you start expressing a need, you'll start limiting yourself. How dare I have this? I'm not good enough. Can't possibly have it. Don't work hard enough. Not making enough money. Nobody will love me. I'm an ugly person. I live in Fresno, and nobody marries anybody from Fresno. And we can make 50 million excuses. One of the homework assignments, if you'd like to do it, that really helps a lot, it certainly helps me, is to... And I'm still not great at it. I have a very hard time doing needs. Is to get needs out of your body and on paper or on the computer or out. Because what will happen is if you try to express your needs and your shame comes up, you'll stuff it down. Well, I really need... No, I don't need that. Or no, I don't need that. After all, we instantly stuff it down. We don't even know we've done it. So once you make a commitment to put your needs outside and manifest them, make them third dimensional, get them out of your body, say what some of your needs are, what you absolutely must have to have peace, harmony, contentment, well-being, survival. And don't put other people's judgments in there that this is a want. Whatever your need, and your needs and wants will change every day. They might go from needs to wants and wants to needs. Anything that brings up shame or anything you're having a hard time saying, or if you find you're holding back in the total expression of it, put a big red S next to it. You're going to admit that you have shame about it, but at least you got it out of your body. Once you start deciding what you'll find in deciding what you want, how you really have a lot of wishful thinking inside, but you're not specific about it. And the one I used with you guys before was about money. And if you walk up to anybody and ask them, say, in 3 seconds or less, tell me exactly how much money you want to make next year, they don't know. Because they haven't made a decision. How dare they even expect to, about $50,000, you go, what, a week? No, a year. God, what do you really want? You know, the magic number for most people, because we've been brainwashed, is a million, but a million's nothing. Please don't stop at a million. Really listen to yourself. Really tell your truth. How much do you want a year and put it down? And if you have shame about saying 20 or 30 million, then put a big ass next to it. I recommend starting there. It's really important to tell your truth and get over the how dare yous or that can't be or I'm going to have to rob a bank to do that or only the lucky few have. There's so much money on this planet. It's just energy. See money everywhere. And all you have to do is just make a decision as to how much you want and let the universe start making it happen. And if you have a shame issue about it, write it down. Now, needs and wants get really tricky. The need to be loved and accepted just the way you are. The need to have freedom, the freedom to choose, the freedom to be you. Those aren't wants. You know, even in the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We even put it in writing and signed it somewhere so it could happen. Made it real. Start listing them, and what you're going to do is manifest. You're going to start stating your needs and wants instead of expecting to be rescued. If you get caught in the rescue mode, you'll never get rescued. The Bible's all about telling you you're going to get strung up on that cross and God's going to go, tough shit. For those of you who've been on the cross, right, Jackie? She's got a closet of crosses. You know, some people have suits. Which one am I going to wear today? But we've been working on that. We're getting over it. So for those of you who want to exchange crosses, she might be your size. That's a bad joke. I apologize. No, I don't. I have to tell it like it is. It's awful and sick, but it's the truth. When you start getting them outside of yourself, then you can start creating what you want without all the shame, or you can at least address the shame. It's very important to quit lying to yourselves and expecting to get rescued. And I was just talking, in fact, Jackie and I were just talking about how her dad called her today and said how he went to church and it just didn't fulfill, didn't fix him like it used to. Yay. Church doesn't fix you. Money doesn't fix you. Love doesn't fix you. Outside self-love does. Outside love doesn't. It's all about getting back inside and seeing you're perfect just the way you are. Even if you don't look great to the rest of the world, if you look great to you, does it matter? In one of the things we're talking about earlier on about mirroring and relationship is the same with this. We often project, or always, often is a soft word, we always project our needs on other people. Who we think other people are and why we like them or dislike them or why they disappoint us or we have approval of them is because we're projecting our needs on them, and how they feed it back to us is our feedback loop. It has nothing to do with them. How many times did you think you were the world's best friend, everything was cool, and that person hates your guts 24 hours later? Something happens and you thought you were being perfect. They projected all their stuff on you, expected you to rescue them or be this certain source of light or love for them, and they needed to get over it because you weren't. And it wasn't your job. Nor is it their job to do it for us. So while you're doing needs and wants, watch out for projections on other people. You really need to get it on paper for you. And so if some of your needs or some of your absolute needs are, I need somebody to love me, then put, I need to love myself. So watch out for projecting out or putting it on other people or other places, or I need my kids to love me. If I love myself, the hell with my kids. Really. Then my kids have got a rough ride with this dad. Actually, they wrap me around their finger. I'm working on being tough, though. All talk, no action. So if you start doing these things, you'll know what you're creating instead of letting it just show up. Very important to have an idea. You don't have to do it perfect. Annie's really good. She lists everything out. I like to leave some things to chance, but then it's fun to see what will happen. If it gets exhausting seeing what will happen or it isn't very joyful, I recommend shifting it to making more specific needs and wants. And there's, earlier on, when I was talking about creative energy and sexual energy, this is what they told me, and I forgot to say it to you. So once again, I'm doing one of my holographic jumps. In the sexual terms, we use the word coming, and in the metaphysical terms, we call it becoming. And so creativity, creative expression, those, here we are on the planet, is about becoming. This all ties in with all these things. We're really here to express ourselves, to tell our absolute truth, to really go for what our needs are and quit listening to all those programs that you can't have it. It's all just energy. It all just makes different shapes and forms. You can't destroy it. It doesn't go away. It just keeps changing like that match. And energy is an amazing thing. We really limit ourselves in our becoming process by becoming numb. How many of you can imagine in your mind's eye sliding down a razor blade banister? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Now, that's an awful thing. And we can really, because we don't see it enough or we don't think about it enough, we're not numb to it yet. But how many of you can watch cartoons where Daffy Duck falls on his head or the coyote goes over the cliff and we should have some pain about that? We go, oh my God, that's right up there with razor blade banister. But you see it or hear about it so many times, and there isn't enough of it in the newspaper. You're really going to get your exercise tonight. There isn't enough of it in the newspaper so that we're desensitized to it. But the minute I had said that, for those of you who did it visually or emotionally, you shuttered it off. When you shuttered it off, you took my thought form, I said out loud, and it actually became a somatic response in your body. That somatic response made you shutter off an energy and send it out into the universe because you didn't want to have it. That's how amazingly we can transmute energy and change it into different forms, unconsciously or consciously, instantly. You took Rob's words that really aren't worth much, I mean, they're just words, and made them into a somatic response. It's pretty instant. We're so used to taking other people's energy and putting it through our system. And at least in this one, most of you kicked it out. I don't want that. But then that energy is still floating around, so I apologize, universe, we have razor blades floating around out there somewhere. Probably come back here and I'll have to transmute them again. But do you see how quickly you guys shuffled off the energy? Now, if I did that analogy 3 or 4 more times, if I say razor blade banister 6 more times, I bet it won't even bother you, because you'll quickly generalize into numbness so it doesn't affect you, just like the Daffy Duck commercials. It's real important to see that that's happened through most of your life. I picked razor blade analogy because you don't hear it very often. Start recognizing in your process of telling your truth and becoming that you're numbing yourselves to things, and that when the energy comes in, often you just shutter it off. But if you're not shuttering it off and you keep it inside because you're not conscious that it's uncomfortable for you because you don't know what your needs are, and you just start pulling it into your body, you're limiting yourself. You're creating more fear. And all that fear is just making you jump to the future. It's not about anything other than not being in the moment. Does all that make sense? Boy, I'm making sense that I have hardly any questions. Amazing. Lazarus does this manifestation technique, and I've showed you before, but I want to talk about it again since we're talking about manifesting. And Annie showed it to me, and when she does it or she shows other people how to do this, it has an 80% effectiveness rate. That's pretty good. And it's a piece of paper that you can do to create what you want by taking it from wishful thinking and putting it on paper and being specific, manifesting it in the third dimension. And you take a square piece of paper, she takes a little one like post-it sized paper, and you turn it this way, diamond shape, and you write on it, and you tell me if I leave something out, you write on it the date, today's date, what it is you want, how it is you want it. Not just what you want, but how you'd like to have it. Like if you say for your highest good, for those of you who haven't heard me say this before, duck. Train wrecks could be for your highest good. When you follow metaphysical rhetoric, which is mostly a bunch of dysfunctional people who've shifted their language base, that's all. You think metaphysicians are more healthier because they use different language? There's no way. In fact, I think they're sicker. They're just wiser. They learned how to medicate themselves by doing a certain lifestyle that makes them look cool, but they're still sick. In case you guys have tried having a debate with somebody and totally gave your power away to them and got blasted when you thought they were cool and found out they were just a perpetrator in disguise. So when you say how it is you want it, be effortlessly and easily and joyfully with smoothness or whatever words you, those are some of my words, use your words, the highest good, duck. If you write highest good, get down. And some people do say highest good. I've had arguments with people on highest good. This is just Rob's opinion. Now, you can do it for your highest good, and it will accelerate things. But I'm not really in favor of supporting my insurance company's bill-paying system because I said for my highest good. What it is you date, what it is you want, how it is you want to have it, and when it is you want to have it by. So when do you want it by? Now, if you haven't done your needs list, you're going to have a real difficult time saying you want it in a couple of weeks because you're going to, well, it's going to take at least 3 years for this to happen. So you'll make an unrealistic date, because it has nothing to do with realistic. It has to do with putting the energy out there. Put the energy out there and let the universe work for you. And say thank you. Yes. Yeah, it's focusing creativity. It's to a manifestation process to really, instead of, because if we keep it all inside, we keep shifting it around. As soon as we come, oh, that's not good enough, I can't do that. Yes, I'd like $1 million, but as soon as somebody says, how much do you want to make next year, 3 seconds or less? Well, 20,000. No, that's not right. It's a lie. Annie said that you just, if it's a negative thing that you want something to go away or stop, then it's like just say yes. You look for the affirmative. What is it that I'd like to have happen as opposed to what is it I don't want to have happen? And make it an affirmative, and then create what you want. No, well, I haven't gotten that far, but you may put it on your refrigerator. For someone like me, that would be a good place since I see it a lot. It all depends. Are you on a diet? So, You also put thank you on there and express your gratitude. You fold it and sign your name. Thank you. Sign your name. And so we know who it's coming to, whose contract it is. And then fold it, that square piece of paper with the top corner going down to the middle, That's number one, going clockwise. And the bottom one is number two, coming up. And then right-hand side is number three, left-hand side is number four. So you point all the little points to the middle. And then on the flip it over, and on the other side, make a little personal diagram or a little just put some energy on it, a symbol, a mandala, a happy face stamp. Put your energy on it. And then I put mine under a crystal. You can put it on the fridge. You can keep it in your purse. On the date, when it manifests, then take this piece of paper and burn it in a little bowl and transmute the energy, because you can't destroy it. But you can let it become smoke and let it become environmental or recycle it. Set it free. And if it doesn't happen, eliminate it and do another one. Oh, and after you make the symbol, love on it. That's a very important thing. Send your love in there, love on it, love energy. Hold it to your heart. Put your energy in it. Have great joy in the process. It's a very simple process. It works easy. I don't know how to tell you guys this. I always want to just say it, but it's so hard to prove to people who have bought into that life has to be hard. It's really easy. You can have your cake and eat it too. And you know, my mom and dad have argued with me my whole life about it, and they're miserable, sick people. I left home at 13. They said, you'll starve to death. I made my first million by 14. And I gave it to my mom. She needed it more than me. She's scared. You can have it. You can have joyfulness, and you can have peace and harmony, contentment, well-being. You just have to choose yourself. You have to decide not to listen to all the lies. And you can give me 50 million third-dimensional reasons why that's not so. If I don't work, then my family will starve. I have responsibilities. Get over it. It's really time to start just thinking differently. Because if you keep thinking that way and you try to solve your problems from that framework, you're in big trouble. You won't solve them that way, because you're giving your power away to the I'm not good enough unless system. Or maybe someday, if I have enough money, I'll be happy. I've hung out with a lot of very wealthy people who aren't very happy. Money doesn't always fix it. Happy people with money are happy people. Unhappy people with money are just the same as every other, except they're more unhappy because they were told money would fix it and it was a lie. And now they're really pissed because the one thing everybody said would fix it didn't. So they've got it worse off than many people. So before you go and make a fortune, get happy. And there's a few of you in the room that have people with money or were married to people with money and totally know what I'm talking about, including me. Does all that make sense? I'm going to, every month when I try chatting, I'm going to try to hold the frequency for you guys, shift in different ways to show you how it can be, and it's really just a state of being. You have to choose it. You have to choose to just be, and you have to be brave. If you stay in the moment, it's real easy to be brave because there's no fear in the moment. So your homework assignment is to stay present, to address what your needs are and stay present with them, not to be afraid to ask for what you want. You don't have to explain why. If you feel like you have to, go back to what we knew as kids and say, cuz. Works. Why do you want that, cuz? Works great. It's nobody's business. If they ask you why, it's most likely so they can talk you out of it or mirror back to you your fear that you can't have it. Fuck them. Don't tell them. It's real important to keep your power. Don't give it away. Watch who you give it to. Watch how you say it. And your mirror is out there. Everybody's here to validate your reality. And so all we'll see, what you guys see in me, is your reality validated back in one fashion or another. So I'm a totally different person for each one of you. If you all got together afterwards and talked about Rob, you'd see none of you, or some of you, had five or six different groups of opinions. It's all based on how you see the world. Bottom line is, it's very easy. It is very easy, and you just have to choose to make it easy. Re-educate yourself. Don't listen to all that garbage out there. If you look, Madison Avenue is totally designed to tell you you're not good enough. If you have whiter teeth, you'll get laid. If you have a fancy car, everything is great. If you have a big house, you're safe and secure. Bullshit. Ask the people in Florida if any of that's true right now. They'll tell you it's all a lie. Ask them if their insurance companies have even paid yet. It's all a big lie. You're not here to give your power away to Madison Avenue. If you don't watch things consciously, if you watch TV and go, I need that, you better really put it on your list as a need, or see if it's a want, and see and understand why you're doing it. There's Madison Avenue, and all these TV shows are all just mass consciousness trying to brainwash you into thinking you're not a good enough person unless you dress right, look right, act right, have the right color, live in the right place, do the right things. Get over it. It just watch it and get conscious. And so I love television. Everybody, all these metaphysical people going around, I hate TV. What they're really saying to me is they can't stand seeing their issues in their face. They're not willing to participate with them and heal them. TV is the number one coolest way in my life I get to do homework. Effortlessly and easy. They bring it to me for $19.95. Beats going to a therapist. We'll charge you hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you'll stay conscious and start doing it for yourself and see you're perfect just the way you are, do your homework, look at your issues. I have a lot of friends I talk to, and when we chat about Oprah Winfrey or Phil Donahue or something like that, they go, I can't watch that. There's this show. It's just so awful. Well, why? Maybe because it has a very strong issue for you. Maybe we can process it and can talk about it, or at least see what it is. What does it bring up, the fact that you feel powerless in this situation or unsafe or not valuable? Do your conscious homework. Read the newspaper consciously. Talk to people like me consciously. Watch out for these metaphysical know-it-alls. I'm not one of them. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. All I know is how I live my life. And if you can pick and choose parts of it and it helps you, great. And if it doesn't, I suggest circularly filing it. Trash can, for those of you who didn't get that. Just to pick and choose parts and listen and watch out. That library down there is a great bookstore, but it's totally full of bullshit. And it's really wonderful, truthful bullshit. And it's all about telling you how you can be better so that you can buy the next book. Okay? So if none of you come next month, I'll see you got it. I will go home gratefully if nobody comes to this room. And the reason they didn't come is because it's not the wrong day, that we just really got that they don't need any of this stuff. Be yourselves. Tell your truth. Get brave. Any questions? Yeah. Cheap. What I'm saying is to learn for the sake of joyfulness, but don't do it to make yourself a better person. Watch out for the trap that you'll be better if your teeth are whiter or you read this new book, or if you read this, we'll teach you how to go out of your body because you're not having a good enough experience now. But this whole planet's this big game board. Go around and have joyfulness and experience and have fun in whatever ways you want to have fun. But watch out for the catch-20. It's not far behind. It's a very thin line between doing it because it brings you great joy or that great joy is because you feel safer, more secure, better because you have this. That's a trick. Just do it for the creative expression, for the in-the-momentness and the beingness. Most of the people who've heard me chat before know I see the world in many different frequencies, and there are some people who are totally dedicated to information. Without it, there is no joy. Right, Don? Right. There are people who think information totally sucks. If they have to do information, it makes them depressed. There are people who live by emotions and can care less about any of the other parts. There are people who live for play and can care less about emotions and thinking. Do it for you. Be in the moment. But watch out for the trap of you're not good enough just the way you are. And stay conscious when you watch for these things. Go into the bookstore and have great joy because there's fun parts. But have great joy, have great expectation or great expectancy and no expectation. The expectations will get you every time. If you live your life because you're going to get something, you'll never get it. Madison Avenue knows that. And they really like having you go and buy things, and because they'll sell you the newer model. And in fact, there's some like computer businesses and electronics and the bookstore. There are so many new things every day that you can literally spend your entire fortune trying to get something better or get fixed moment to moment. They'll be more than glad to keep two steps ahead of you, and often do. If everybody just stopped and said they're good enough the way they are, everything would just collapse and we could all just share the wealth. It'd be very fun. It'd be nothing to spend it on. Everybody'd be totally fine. Well, we're getting pretty close to that anyways. I have a sense that California is due for a bankruptcy pretty soon. So within 3 years, it'll be very interesting business here. And the victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle is totally setting up for a collapse. The United States is the rescuer. Your only advantage is not to count on it to rescue you, to do your homework and rescue yourself. Then you can really care less. If you have peace, harmony, contentment, well-being, who gives a rat's behind what's happening with California, the United States? There's that Buster Keaton movie where he's standing in front of a house and the whole side of the house falls on him, but he's standing in that one little 3-foot square where the window's open. And he looks around and sees the dust, and he's going like, what happened? He didn't know the house fell down. He didn't need to know. He was standing in the right place at the right time. Does it really matter that the house fell down? Not to him. That old, if the tree fell in the forest and nobody heard it, did it make a sound? And nobody ever makes you do anything. The existentialist will tell you that. You have a choice of killing yourself, always. You never, ever have to be made to do anything. You have a choice to do it, to not do it, and if they're going to force you, to eliminate your participation third dimensionally so you never have to choose. You always have choice. Some of the choices aren't so much fun, but you always have choice. Nobody ever makes you do anything. Never. Well, thank you all very much for coming. It's fun having you.